Yo, Matiba's Radio.
The best youth station in the Bay.
We are on the seventh episode of the Bench Warmer on Madiba's Radio. I'm your host, Gorgs. We are joined by Andre, the new NMU rugby head coach. Andre, welcome to Madiba's Radio and the NMU family.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Firstly, Andre, can you share a bit about yourself before we start for all those who don't know who you are?
Okay, well, my name's Andre Tripadu. I started off coaching in the year 2000 at schoolboy level, worked my way up, also coached at PICA, Northwest University's PICA Rugby Institute. I was there for about 4 years. Then I coached at Cheetahs for 5 years before heading to Japan, where I coached with Garvitron at the club Docomo Red Hurricanes. When returning from Japan, I was fortunate to be assistant coach to Sean Erasmus at Paul Boys High for a year, and then the last 2 years I've been in Russia coaching at Slava Moscow, which is a professional club in their Russian league.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned Slava Rugby. So you currently a coach of a professional side, Slava, as you mentioned, down in Russia. With the growing interest of South African rugby players playing in Russia, with the likes of Jordan Holgate, who played rugby for the Blue Bulls and Western Force junior ranks, joining your side, how do you compare the level of rugby that's out to South Africa, South African rugby?
Yeah, look, it's picked up a lot in the last year because a lot of the teams are getting more and more South Africans coming to join them. Mm. Especially with the current situation where a lot of the smaller unions don't offer the opportunities and contracts like they used to in the past. It gives those players that sort of fall out of the franchise bracket an opportunity to go and play and make a pretty good living for them in Russia. So the clubs look after the players well. I think the standard has picked up a lot this year, and it's comparable to First Division Curry Cup. Maybe towards the bottom half of First Division Curry Cup, I would say.
Right, so obviously you had a stint at Shimla's coaching the Young Guns. You obviously played against Madiba's Young Guns. Can you share a bit about what was your experience like playing against NMU rugby outfit?
Yeah, look, what we found is I was also involved with the Shimla senior side as the analyst, and what we found with coming especially down to Port Elizabeth, it's always a tough game. Obviously, you've got the friendly win down there, and which makes it difficult for a brand like Shimla's, who like running the ball from everywhere. But it was always difficult coming down to Port Elizabeth to play against the Madibas, whether it was the Young Guns or whether it was the Varsity Cup team. We always knew, listen, let's just try and get out of Port Elizabeth with some points, and it wasn't always achievable. So obviously the Eastern Cape is a rich area of rugby, and that translates into always having a tough game when you come down there.
Yeah. So we know that many schoolboy rugby players who get schooled down in Eastern Cape get coached by big unions such as Western Province, the Bulls, the Sharks, then get fed through to the respective universities. You've obviously coached the schoolboy rugby outfit in Paul Boys down in Cape Town. Now my question is, how will you be able to motivate schoolboy rugby players in 2021 to choose NMU rugby over other unions or universities?
Yeah, look, at the moment you have to go and look at what platform the players have after schoolboy rugby, and it's actually scary how few opportunities there are for the young players coming out of schoolboy rugby at the moment. With only an under 20 national competition going to be run, Varsity Cup becomes a big platform, and the big thing is to sell Madiba's rugby as a platform to potential stars within the Eastern Cape, and then obviously if there's positions lacking in the Eastern Cape, to go and look for players from outside the province that can fill up our pipeline. So the big thing is to sell the platform and also to create a culture of sustainable success within Madiba's rugby.
All right, now on to the coaching staff. It was officially announced that Lobalo Lento, Barent Pieterse, Luvuyo Mhlobiso as your coaching staff and Nico Kuhn as a team manager. You mind sharing a bit about your coaching staff and how will they be utilized as coaches in the team?
Yeah, so we've got an exciting team together. Obviously, Barent is a well-traveled and experienced coach, having coached at Super Rugby level with the Kings, and then also having coached with Alistair Kutsia in Japan with Canon Eagles. And then we've got Lebobalu Lento, who's still a young coach, who's worked with Wusu and done really well with the forwards at Wusu. So I think that could be a great opportunity for Boren to mentor Lubabalu, and also to learn, so that we can learn from each other in the forward exchanges. So both of them will be running the forwards, where one will be running set piece, the other one will be running forward skills. So I think that should complement each other rather well. And then with Luvuyo coming on board, having been an SA under 19 player and a player that's played for the Bulls, also having had success with African Bombers in the local leagues, and that's really myself and Luvuyo would complement each other, where I'm a bit more coach with a bit of flair from the Free State sort of system. He was with the Bulls, where he would want that go forward, and a more forceful runner, run with attitude sort of backline coach. So looking at it in that way, I think the coaching staff will complement each other well. And then Nico Kuhn, who's been manager with Madibas for ages, really caring for the players, really going the extra mile to look after the players, also excited with you know, him having heard really good feedback. And then Siyanda Pini, who's our analyst, who has been doing a great job already. You know, we've asked him to take out certain stats on what sort of trends there are in the current Varsity Cup that's passed, so that we can look at formalizing a solid plan going into next season.
All right, so obviously next season, obviously we'll be playing in the Varsity Cup. So will they be used, all of them, for Varsity Cup, or for the Young Guns as well, or is it different coaching staff for the Young Guns?
No, so we've got a different coaching staff for the Young Guns, but they will be working closely with the first team, so that we can create a pathway where Young Guns players would be able to slot into the senior team a bit easier after Varsity Cup. And sometimes it happens that some of the Young Guns boys can come up and play senior Varsity Cup already.
Okay. All right, so Madibas, as the senior side, has officially been promoted to the Varsity Cup after 2 years in the Varsity Shield. How will the side in 2021 be able to compete against the powerhouses such as Marty Stokes, just to name a few?
Yeah, so obviously we've had to do a lot of homework after the current season, and as soon as we got put together as a staff and to look at certain strengths and weaknesses within the current squad, we have identified a few positions that we feel we need to add competition, because one thing that I want to make clear is that whether you were at Madibas or whether you're coming to Madibas, nobody's guaranteed a position in the team. They've got to work hard to achieve that position. But with the coaches we've identified, and with the guys that have been within the system, we've identified a few positions to strengthen. And we've tried to get players of caliber in certain positions. So that's the first thing, is to go and look at the squad and then to strengthen in certain positions. We've also got to look within Madiba's. There are a lot of players that are most probably playing res or that are at the university that haven't played. So we've also identified a few players that are at the university that haven't played. So those are things that we looked at in terms of coaching staff. The first thing is to look at our playing squad and to strengthen in areas where the coaching staff feels that we need to strengthen. And then it's going to be the way we prepare and the way we plan now to leading into the competition. Obviously, Varsity Cup is a step up and everybody wants to play on that platform. It's going to be important to create a great culture of enjoyment, but also of hard work, because we're going to be playing against the best of the best in the country in terms of university rugby. So we've done some hard work already. Obviously, there's been a few hiccups with the Kings situation. Yeah. But we are currently communicating to those players involved. And then also looking at one or two other players coming off under 21s at some of the unions. So there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment in terms of some junior players, a lot of players in the market. But we don't want to just say we're going to go and buy a new team. We want to work with the boys that are already in the system. There's some exciting players that are already at Madiba's, and then to strengthen one or two positions, strategic positions, if I can call it that.
So obviously you've mentioned the Kings. Obviously they're going through a tough patch at the moment. Could we possibly see a few players getting recruited to possibly strengthen the squad for next season?
There'll definitely be a few players to come in and strengthen the squad. But as I said before, that doesn't guarantee them playing time. They've got to work hard to achieve playing time. So it's going to be definitely the guys that work the hardest, that put in the effort. It will be a fun environment of hard work. But the boys that work the hardest will get playing time. But yeah, we are looking to bring in a few extra players.
Right. So now looking at the NMU Rugby Club as a whole, this obviously includes the Varsity Cup side, the Varsity Sports 7 side, all user competitions, and the men's and women's club rugby. What goals and objectives do you have for all those sporting codes, or let me say disciplines, within the rugby industry in NMU?
Yeah, so the first goal is to become a sustainable Varsity Cup university. So we're going to have to work hard to stay in the Varsity Cup, because that will just help us in terms of marketing and recruitment. So that's the first overall objective. And then the second big objective is to become a sustainable student athlete program that is competitive at all levels. So we don't want to just be competitive at Varsity Cup and then fall away in the club league. We want to be competitive at all levels. We've got to go and look at what are the guys that have been the most successful in Varsity Cup. What does their systems look like? And then we need to try and improve on their systems. So I know teams that have been successful of late, like Marty's, even Wits, they've also had really successful teams within their club system and also within their USA teams. So the big challenge for us is not to only focus on Varsity Cup, but that is obviously the biggest thing, is to try and be successful in Varsity Cup, and then also to look at obviously through solid mentoring programs, uplift our coaching at all levels, uplift our high performance program at all levels. If we can get a good system in place, then the system will look after itself later on, and it would also look after results. So coaching is a process driven, and we need to put some solid processes in place from that a boy arrives there in the first year out of school till when he graduates, because at the end of the day we want to create players who also graduate and can play a good part in society.
Right. I just want to ask as well, I know obviously now currently we have COVID-19 and obviously regulation lockdowns that's happening at the moment. Will that play a part next year's competition? I mean, we haven't heard anything yet come from SA Rugby. I don't know, maybe you guys obviously have heard anything from SA Rugby in terms of the competition for next season, which will obviously be held in February.
Yeah, look, there's currently a lot of conversation going on about academic years and when it will finish. Because, you know, as you know, Varsity Cup competition is based on whether you pass your previous year's academics.
60
credits. So 60 credits, and that can only be done after the completion of the academic year. So I think Varsity Cup, as we know, it might move a bit later in the year. Not much, but it might move a month on or two. We're not sure, but there has been some communication between Varsity Cup and the rugby managers so that we can plan. It's very difficult to plan if you don't know when the competition will start. But at the moment, it seems as though by the first week in October, they'll have a big meeting where all the final decisions will be made. I think around the 6th of October, that meeting will take place, and then we'll have certainty in terms of the dates of when Varsity Cup will start.
Right. Lastly, do you have a message to all NMU rugby players, fans and listeners out there who obviously support the NMU rugby brand, or let me say Madiba's rugby team?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to be coming down to Port Elizabeth, and we're going to try and create an excitement around the team, and we need everyone's support. This is not one person's team, it's everyone's team, the whole university, the students, student life, best time of your life. So when we play home games, we want everyone to come out and support the Madibas. We definitely going to give it everything, and hopefully not disappoint our fans. But it's got to be enjoyable, it's got to be fun, it's got to be vibey, and that's what we're looking to create at Madibas.
Alright, thank you Andre for joining us on Madibas Radio. We trust that you enjoyed your time on the show, and the public will obviously hope they are well informed of all your plans for NMU Rugby. Thanks Andre.
Thank you very much for having me, Nathan, and look forward to working with you in the future.
That was Andre, the Madibas Rugby Varsity Cup coach. That concludes the first segment of the venture, but do stay tuned after the break. So we are back on the bench warmer on Madiba's Radio. It's your host, Gorbs. Today we have a guest all the way from Cape Town. I was lucky enough to be coached by him. Craig, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Nate. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Firstly, Craig, can you tell us a bit about who you are, where you come from, and what you do for a living?
Thanks. I'm at the moment a rugby coach. I'm involved across the board from junior schoolboy, senior schoolboy rugby, through to club rugby, director of cup and in the SLA. As a head coach in the league and as a defense coach in the Varsity Cup, as well as Western Province Schools, and to be involved in the under 16 Grant Como side for 2 years and what was meant to be this year as well. So that's my involvement at the moment.
All right. I just want to say congratulations, Craig, on your marriage. I know it's been a tough year, but you managed to tie the knot. You obviously conquered the cancel culture. Did you perhaps have any guests? Because, I mean, we weren't involved as your past players.
Yeah, firstly, thanks very much. The lockdown, while it's brought a lot of negative to so many people, and it's really challenged us emotionally and physically and financially, it really has had some positives, and I think it's given us all an opportunity to maybe put a bit more focus or time into relationships and into other activities. So yeah, it was a really good time for us to get married. We've been together for over 10 years now, so we've walked a journey, and it's been great. We had a small event and looking to do a big celebration towards the end of next year when we can do so, obviously once lockdown and COVID is hopefully somewhat behind us.
All right, so obviously you featured on the latest installment of the virtual Craven Week edition on SuperSport. I mean, how was that experience for you?
Yeah, I think it's firstly a great initiative by School Sports Live, and they've got a great team there, and they really in the last few years or a couple of years now have really helped put schoolboy rugby out there globally and across SA. So they got a great product, and it was great to work with BC and doing that filming and with a couple of the boys. And it's also nice to see the other guys I've coached at a provincial level also featuring there. I think it just shows that the talent in the Western Province and the testament to how well they do in the youth weeks year in, year out. So it was a great initiative. Obviously quite sad being the case that rugby not having taken place, but yeah, nice thing to be part of good to.
Yeah, so staying on to the topic of the Craven Week, you obviously currently coach the Wild due to the cancer culture. You obviously coach the under 16 West Province side. So what do you think is the main difference between schoolboy rugby and provincial level in terms of management setup and the level of professionalism?
Yeah, this is something we talk about quite a lot. I think, you know, it's probably easy to compare it when you go from, say, Super Rugby to international rugby. The Springboks get together and they've only got a short time to work together. They can't really work too much on skill. They expect the players to have the skill set required per position. So they work really on mindset and then plan. And it's a similar model with the Grand Como or the Craven Week. You do a set of trials and you only really get your team a week before you leave on a 3-day camp and then straight into the youth week. So it's a lot to pulling the guys together, developing the brand and the Western Province style of play and mindset, and creating a strategy around the tournament. the youth weeks are a fairly unique structure. There's certain rules and regulations which make them a little bit tricky in terms of the game time. I think we've managed to get that right last year in White River with under 16s, where we had a good tournament and a very, very talented side. I think it's exciting to work with those boys and all the different schools and the way they come in as individuals, and I think they leave at the end as better individuals, but also as a collective unit to play some good rugby.
All right. Now, due to the COVID outbreak, there was no Craven Week at Grand Como, and obviously the schoolboy rugby season. How much do you think this has impacted schoolboy rugby in general?
Well, I think it's been really tragic. I think if you look, I think the matrics have obviously been hit the hardest in terms of their last year. A lot of them have played rugby at school for 12 years and worked all the way up for this year. They've trained for hours and hours and hours in the gym and on the field to get their opportunity to be the matric and the leader in the team. So it's been immense loss for them. And then across the board, so much opportunity for each boy to play under 14, 15, 16, and get the opportunity to learn the lessons there, develop, get to know himself a lot better. So I think we're going to feel the effect. Unlike most setbacks like injury and sickness and things like that, this has happened to everyone. So it's not as though half the country's been able to play and half the country hasn't. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to have guys effectively coming out of under 15 last year, not really playing under 16 this year, and having to come into a first team environment next year on the main stage and playing against some of the best players in the country. So it's going to be tricky, and I think the schools that get their conditioning and their basics back up to a standard are the ones that are going to do well.
Yeah, touching base on the conditioning side, I mean, I think you guys have started already with Weinberg and UCT. Can you share more about what have you guys been doing in the gym or on the field? Alright, so obviously due to, as you said, about the conditioning, obviously I believe you guys have started at Weinberg and at UCT with a bit of on-field training and gym work. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, so we're trying to return to some sort of normality, as the president would have addressed recently with level 2. Gyms are opening and the boys are able to return to gym-based training, which is obviously a massive component in their conditioning towards rugby. You can only get so far training at home, body weight exercises and road running. So that's a great step for the guys, and I think it gives them a lot of energy. There are a lot of protocols involved, but I think they're all manageable. And as of today, we've got back into action at both schoolboy and university level. The on-field stuff will have to wait a little bit, but hopefully in September we can return to some kind of social distance training and activity to get the boys moving and excited about being back at some form of rugby again.
So we all know that Western Province is one of the most competitive unions in the country. Have there been talks for the Paul School to possibly join the schools in Borland? I mean, it has come up quite a bit. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's always an interesting one, and I think whoever you involve in the conversation, it might have a different opinion or go in a different direction. But it's something that's often discussed, not necessarily with me involved, but I believe so. And yeah, I think Western Province will look to hold on to those schools as long as they can. Yeah. They're obviously very, very strong and they provide a lot of talented players for the union. So at the moment, I don't foresee any change there.
I believe there was a Western Province. There were two teams from Western Province. Did it help quite a bit as well, with obviously having two teams from Western Province?
Yeah, so for 2020, we were going to have two Grand Como teams at under 16 level, and actually four under 18 teams, two in the Craven Week and two in the Academy Week, yeah. Which is great. And one of those teams in the Academy Week is generally speaking from the development school phase, which is fantastic to give those boys who don't necessarily play week in, week out in the Super A League an opportunity to play on a provincial level and progress themselves, the ones that stand out in their schools and are managed to go through the trial process. So yeah, the rugby is very strong to send six high school teams away to youth weeks, so eight teams to youth weeks in a year, I think is an incredible feat for the union.
All right, do you think Scuba Rugby is becoming more and more professional? I mean, we see a lot of professional union coaches coaching at top boys schools, Paul Gym, and a few schools down in Joburg, obviously having same thing that's been happening now with all the big coaches coaching high school level.
Yeah, I think schoolboy rugby has definitely evolved over the sort of the last 10 years. I think when I started coaching schoolboy level in the junior ranks, sort of under 15, 16, even then, you know, it was very amateur in terms of analysis, conditioning, game plans, game models, leadership, performance analysis, all those things that are now basic things that are done at a first team level at schoolboy. So yeah, I think it's an incredible level. I think there's obviously some schools that have got a better model and doing it better than others, but I think week in, week out in this country, we say particularly in the Western Cape, we're playing against good coaches who've had exposure at the top level. We have coaching assistants who've played and coached at the top level, and they're really doing their homework. They, you know, you can't come into a game with the same lineup calls week in, week out, as your ball will be taken. So there's a lot of analysis, a lot of conditioning that goes in. GPS tracking, just as though a union would do, just on a slightly smaller scale or on budget or time. So yeah, it's an incredible product, I believe, and I think it's one of those things that you have to just keep up, because if you slack off in terms of your professionalism, you just will get left behind from the other schools.
You were talking about the budget. Do you think the financial power does play a role in that? Obviously, acquiring the services of top name coaches in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the outside of a culture of your rugby at a school or a union, which is incredibly important to give you direction, players, coaches are probably two of the main tools that you need. The better your coaches are, the more cohesive they are, the stronger, the more time they have to work together, and then the better your players are as a base is going to give you that opportunity over the next. And sadly, a lot of that has to do with budget. You know, at a school like Wynberg, we've got some fantastic coaches involved with all our teams, but a lot of them are donating some of their time. They're doing it in between their work, or in between their own playing or coaching elsewhere. So, you know, budget plays is a massive role, as it does at the professional level. It equally does at schoolboy, mainly around the ability to have top level coaches, pay them and remunerate them for their time and their expertise, as well as being able to bring in players from under 14 or along the way who can really compete at the highest level.
Yeah, so last week Friday, the Elite Player Development webinar was concluded. Did you perhaps attend?
Unfortunately not. No, I wasn't there.
All right. Can you share more about what was happening in that whole webinar for elite player development.
Is that with yeah, so I mean, I think I've been involved to an extent with that. Nate, I was on a camp last year with under 16s, a great model which they're pushing out to the unions through the provincial coaches, to then filter through to all the schools in the various provinces around their standards and norms, around their game model and how they want to play at an SA schools level, and what sort of players that they're looking for and the expectations. I think once again, as I mentioned earlier, at that level, the players need to have the skills. So they're saying to us at a provincial and at a schoolboy level that we need to help develop those players so that when they get there, that the hooker can throw and that the kicker can kick and the center can pass, you know, and the loose forward can poach, for a few simple examples. So, yeah, I think they've really, in my involvement in recent times, guys like Nico Serpentain and Herman Masimla, they're really developing a good product there, and it's starting to expand into the schools and the unions, which I think is the key, because invariably that's where the players develop the skills to perform at a national level. They don't have the time to teach players the individual skills.
100%. Now, touching base on player development, I mean, it's in professional setup, I'm sure you know as well, that normally players go out to outreach programs and helping in communities. How important do you think it is for perhaps starting it at a younger age in high schools, in boys going out into underprivileged places and obviously helping out a bit? I mean, to obviously help them in terms of their personal development as well.
Yeah, I think it's an immense part of the mentorship of the boys. And their development, I think they firstly get a lot out of it in terms of understanding how to coach, how to transfer information, pass on some of their knowledge. It makes them think of the game a bit differently, think deeper into how they do something, so that they can transfer that knowledge. So that's the benefit for them and us as a school or club. But obviously then the addition and the most important is the opportunity to sort of give back and pass on some of the stuff that they've learned, connect with boys who don't have as much exposure to good coaching and mentorship and really just give a bit of time. So we try and involve as much as we can there with good projects. And good organizations that are creating platforms for boys to spend their time.
So obviously you coached me for 3 years. I think my last year at Weinberg was our peak point out of the 3 years. Craig, I just want to ask you, what makes a good coach in making a successful side?
Yeah, Nate, we had a good time. It was some awesome memories on the field and off the field, and I think a lot we've both learned since then. I think as a coach, you want to understand how you do it. You've got to understand your why and what motivates you to coach. I think that's the ultimate starting point. And then from there, you develop the way you approach your team and the way you approach the game and competition. And then from there, I think you've got to build good relationships. I think it's something that I really enjoy as part of the job. I find I try my best to not rush relationships with players and coaches, but to try and build strong relationships. I think at that point, you can get a lot out of each other, and as a coach you can demand really high standards if you're willing to invest and put a lot of time into the players to understand what type of player they are, what type of person, what motivates them, why they play the game, and to really something I've learned over the years and continue to get better at is to understand each player as an individual and what they bring to the team and how they're all different. So yeah, I think that's the starting point. And then I have mentioned it, but your ability to learn and grow as a coach. You think you know everything, you're halfway to losing. So I think you've got to be willing to learn all the time, but at the same time, stay true to your philosophy or your way, because I think it's very easy to get caught up in copy and pasting and taking too much from others that you don't properly understand. So yeah, that would be my basic beat there.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a couple of good victories in my last year, and obviously it was very, very memorable. I obviously learned quite a lot from high school ball rugby. Obviously coming from you and Gus. But moving on to the next question, recently you were in England. You were involved in the Saracens coaching ranks, if I believe. Can you tell us more about how that experience was for you?
Yeah, incredible experience. Myself and a guy named Sean Lucas, who runs the S&C at Weinberg and at UCT, I arranged for him to join me, and we spent a couple of weeks in the UK. It was a great experience. Firstly, we were at Saracens for about 10 days, and we just observed and got into conversation and got involved here and there. And really got to witness a week and a bit of their setup through a game week, which involved Saracens Storm, which is their A side, as well as the Saracens men's side playing. We went and then watched at the end of the week the game at Twickenham Stoop against Quins, which they won. And it was just great to watch their whole build up in a match week, how professional they are. How well the coaches prepare, how many hours they spend, the way they connect with the players, ask questions, they're exceptional, and the use of technology and the way they present things is just on a seriously high level. So I think it's probably the most I've ever learned in an environment in a week. And just so happy to share and learn not only the coaches there and Mark McCall, their director of rugby, but also their players. You know, you sit and have lunch with Marco Vinopolo and you talk about scrums, and he's happy to chat and share and you know, ask you questions as well. So that was great. And from there we went and spent 10 days again at Gloucester, which was also awesome. Jan Ackerman is the coach then. He's moved on now, but he was running a great operation, and their assistant coaches and him were awesome. A number of players there as well, Danny Cipriani, Cabran Probler, just to name a few that spent a lot of time with us on the field and off the field, just chatting the game and how it's different there and what they've learned in their journey. So yeah, it was an immense eye-opener and a really good exposure to rugby at the highest level in the UK.
Yeah, talking about the professional rugby, obviously you've got the best of, you had the experience of seeing firsthand the best of both worlds. What do you think is the difference between England rugby and SA rugby structures?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a tough one, and I have had quite a bit of exposure. I've been very lucky to have a mentor in Norman Laker, who's the current Stormers defence coach, an incredibly passionate guy and a great rugby coach. So I've exposed to their environment as well, and they do some incredible things, and it's a really good setup. And I think the game is quite different. The demands are very different in the Premiership and the Heineken Cup versus Super Rugby and Curry Cup. If I'm not mistaken, I think in the Prem, and they play for about 42 weeks of the year. So they're really playing week in, week out rugby. It's a really different environment. But I think ultimately the most obvious thing is their administration. So the way they run their club off the field is really, really impressive. I was just, everything runs so well. It's so organized. It's very, very efficient. Everything, the back office systems and administration. And then the second thing that was really standout is their culture to learn and share is really strong compared to generally speaking in South Africa. They didn't really know us from a bar of soap. We came in there and two South African guys who are not rugby names, and they were willing to chat and learn with us and learn from us, but also share because of what they could maybe get out of it and what they could maybe pass on. So I think their willingness to include you and share is really standout, as well as I said, the administration is really, really good.
Now, obviously, as you said, Saracens obviously have a sound, sufficient club, rugby club. Do you possibly see yourself coaching overseas? We already see it with Scuba rugby players and moving abroad.
Yeah, I think the overseas rugby environment's very attractive. For the reasons I've just mentioned, as well as just great opportunity in a new environment to test yourself. It's a really interesting style of rugby, very competitive and very relentless. It's week in, week out, different conditions, from extreme weather conditions to decent weather conditions. So it really is an attractive, in my view, opportunity for a coach. So yeah, I definitely see that as an opportunity in the future, but certainly not in any sort of hurry. I'm really enjoying what's happening at the moment in SA Rugby with Russie and Jacques Nienaber at the top, right through Jean Roux and Louis Kuhn in the under 20s, as well as down into schoolboy rugby with Nico and Herman and all of them, and into the provincial thing. So there's a lot of opportunity here, and I'm certainly not on the first bus out of here, but it is definitely an opportunity in the future.
Now, obviously, Craig, you spoke about opportunity. I mean, recently there've been talks of not many opportunities being given to coaches in making a step in the next step into higher coaching roles. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a very tricky one. I think the challenge in South Africa is that any coach that's coached for 10 years or 12 years at a schoolboy level, even at some junior provincial level at Western Province or the Sharks or Bulls, they almost feel that they're ready and they can coach at the next level without necessarily the right exposure or really understanding what that environment demands. And I think the challenge is that to understand the demands of coaching at a professional level. I've had, as I mentioned, great exposure, experiencing that environment at a Stormers level, at a Saracens level, and it really is a significant jump. I think most, as high standard as schoolboy rugby is, and maybe even club rugby, it really is a significant jump to professional rugby. So I think there are times where I think there are some guys that are hard done by, and they're not perhaps given opportunities. But at the same time, I think that professional jump is further away for many coaches than they like to believe.
All right. Speaking on coaches and their job their careers, I see many coaches also having other jobs on the side, such as Andre Fenter, who's a doctor by profession, Jacob Paper, who's a lawyer just name a few in the rugby industry. Do you think coaching alone is a sustainable career?
Yeah, coaching rugby in South Africa is a very difficult one if that's your only source of business or income. I think it's important not only for your own sake, but to have other things going on, if that's possible. I think relying on the game is very difficult. You can quite easily see yourself out of a contract, and then you're in trouble, you know. So I think it really is important to have something else going on. I think you'll find most coaches and even players that might be playing for the Stormers or coaching the Stormers or the Sharks will have other little things on the side which take up a bit of their time, and just to have something else in the background to occupy your mind and diversify your focus, because I think it also can get a bit intense, and it's good to clear your mind on other things. So I think it is really important, and I try and stay involved in other things and opportunities here and there where possible.
Let's take it back. Let's take a step back a bit into schoolboy rugby. Obviously, in the past, there have been scandals of boys getting poached by different schools. Can you share more about that? Obviously, I believe you guys obviously have cut ties with Paul Boys.
Yeah, so the very competitive environment, schoolboy, as I said earlier, and players and coaches being the two most important tools, and specifically players. So there's always going to be that level of competition around boys, and some schools have greater opportunity to fund bursaries and scholarships and hostel accommodation and things like that. So there's always going to be very competitive. Weinberg and Paul Boys were scheduled to play each other this year again, in terms of rebuilding the relationship. We were unfortunate to lose that player to Paul, which we're not happy about. But it's water under the bridge, really, and we've moved on. He's a good kid, and he will do well there. I think it is very competitive, and our principal and school have sort of a no tolerance sort of policy around taking boys that we've invested in and that we're mentoring and developing at Weinberg, but at the same time, I guess boys and parents have the right to go and move where they wish and where they believe they will do best. So yeah, at the end of the day, you just hope that you make a great enough impact on the boy and the family, and they as excited to be part of the school and the culture and the organization as much as you are to have them. So yeah, but it is a tricky environment.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's obviously the best opportunity for the kid. As you said, the parents obviously do play a role in that. But yeah, it is what it is. But I honestly do believe that it's kids should have a say in where they want to go to school. But moving on to the next question now, a trending topic that's been talked about for quite some time. Is a Black Lives Matter movement. I don't know. Do you perhaps want to talk about that a bit? What's your take on it?
It's a tricky one. I prefer not to talk too much on it. And I think there's been a lot in the media now. In the various games and how it's dealt with. I think let's maybe avoid that one for now, if possible.
Okay. Lastly, Craig, what's your take on transformation in the rugby fraternity for both players and coaches in relation to being given a fair opportunity?
Yeah, incredible one. I'm incredibly excited to work at a school like Weinberg, where we are massive on diversity and We're excited about giving boys opportunities. You'll hear the head at Weinberg talk about giving opportunities and then mentoring boys to help take those. I think that's an important part of the process in giving boys that can't as the opportunity of coming to school and develop and their to see so many boys coming out of environments that they might not have realized opportunities to be at a school like Weinberg and go on to do great things, you know, and get provincial sporting contracts and go and study. We've got some great examples now matriculating and in the last few years of guys that have come in and really taken the opportunities and you know, I think changed their life and the life of their family to come which is, it's just incredible to be a part of that and something we're really, really happy about at Weinberg and we put a lot of emphasis on.
All right, Craig, that's all the time we have for today's edition on The Benchwarmer. Craig, do you perhaps want to share your social media handles, including your team's social media handles as well?
So you can see us at Weinberg Rugby, which is Weinberg Rugby Official on Instagram. Mine is CraigChilds89 on Instagram as well. Thanks very much for chatting. It's been great to talk. Oh, good to see you doing well and doing good things.
Yeah, Craig, I just want to say thank you for joining us on Madiba's Radio, The Benchwarmer. Hopefully the listeners out there listened and obviously enjoyed the show. All right, so that was Craig Charles, the current UCTI Kids and Weinberg Director of Rugby. That's all the time we have on today on The Benchwarmer. I'm your host, Gorgs. We'll be back on Friday, same time, 5 to 6 on Madiba's Radio, the best youth station in the Bay. Do stay tuned next time. Cheers.